I have to confess that Pentecost is my favorite holy day in the church. I like it because, one, the media and the sales force of the world has not been able to get hold of it. I mean, really, what would they do? Ooh, Pentecost candles, they go out and they come back as they want? Or would we start selling cheap wine? Has the punch of Pentecost? I don't know. I was trying to imagine. They really can't sell it. Because the truth is, it's a hard day to understand. It's a hard day to celebrate. And the church has been trying to get a grasp on this for centuries. I mean, I've talked about in the medieval church where they used to do trumpets and they would blow the trumpet so it would sound like a wind, or they'd drop live doves into the sanctuary. I first discovered Pentecost when I was in college, and they'd have a happy birthday cake and sing happy birthday to the church. But I am caught this year what happened with the Pentecost art. The church, they get here that you can't really explain it with words or things totally of the mind. It's of the heart and of the eye. And they did all this planning when I was not there, the worship committee. Oh my goodness. And look what they did. It was really wonderful without the pastor. And I said, you know, it seems to go pretty good when I'm not with you. And Saskia goes, yeah, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. It did. And I love how they got this sense of knowing that the Spirit is like wind, like fire, like a dove, and played with that image here. Because truly, this is a day of the unexpected. And to really get a grasp of that, we move back into the text for a minute and remember that for the people hearing this or living this text, it was about 50 days after Passover. Christ had been dead and resurrected. He had recently ascended up into heaven, and it was the time of Pentecost. Now, this was a holy day for the Hebrews. It was a day when they remembered the Ten Commandments being given down onto Sinai to the people, and it was the day when they celebrated the harvest. People would bring loaves made of the first grain and bring it to the temple to sacrifice. And people would come from all over the world to come and be in Jerusalem on that day. And that's where the disciples were. It was a new group of 11. Matthias had just joined them to replace Judas. And they were in a room somewhere together waiting for the Holy Spirit that Christ said would come. And then the unexplainable and the unexpected came out of nowhere. It was something like a violent, mighty wind, and it was roaring, and it filled the house. And then almost instantly, it was like tongues of fire or something like that appeared on the disciples, and they started to speak in tongues that were not their own. I mean, that's a fancy way of saying they spoke in languages that were not the ones they grew up with. And they left that room, and they went out, and they began to speak. And the amazing thing is people from all the lands could understand them in their home language. The words of comfort, the sounds of their home, they heard about God's power and about God's might. And if that wasn't enough, the people were amazed, and 3,000 of them supposedly came to believe and to hear, and Peter began to preach the stunning sermon based on the words of Joel that you just read. And many listened, and they listened, and they were changed. And that power still invites us in. This amazing, untamed, awesome power of God. And it really is God who is at the center of the story. But God isn't named in this story. It's too magnificent to name God. You have like wind, like fire, a sound that came down like a mighty rush. It was the closest they could get to describe what happened today. On that day, it's wind which can be gentle and uncontrollable, powerful and mighty, fire which is consuming and changing and comforting and spreading and frightening and awesome. These are the words trying to describe around who God is. And what I find so stunning here is we never get a record of what is said to the people. Did you get that? We don't know exactly what was said, but we know it was something that changed them. And that God was directly involved with people on an individual level. I love my church in Oregon that had the birthday cake. They kind of got it. It was the blueprint day of the church. It was the start of the church. They tried to make it manageable with a little cake. But God will not be contained in such things. In this Pentecost day, God is starting to blow within those people to say, this is what the future of the people who follow the way of Jesus will look like. It's the coming of age for those people. And it doesn't stay with the 12 or with that group. It goes further and wider than they ever imagined. When the Spirit is in the room, it's broadening, not constricting. It's enlarging, not confining. It's welcome, not go away or not now. And no one was excluded. Everyone heard that. They heard that the message of Christ was not just for the folks that lived in Jerusalem and Judah. No, it wasn't just folks that were born to the way of the Hebrews. It was going to be a word for everyone. And Joel brings up that powerful image in Joel about young men and young women dreaming dreams and old men having visions. Both sexes, every age would be able to prophesy, would have this good and amazing news. Now, the challenge for us is to not make this day just a historical event that happened now. Could it be that the Spirit still blows and moves in this church, in our lives, in our hearts, that it's not just a historical day, but a real live, ongoing event? Frieda Gardner, who was a past moderator of the church, said, would we recognize Pentecost today if it happened? She said, we certainly understand noise and fear and babbling and all that kind of those things. I mean, look at, we got tweets, we got texts, we got iPhones, we got instant news where it seems like tragedy and war around the world is right in our backyard or our front porch or sitting on a bench. It's here with us. And we see those things, the horror and the natural disasters, and wonder, where is God? Frieda would say, I like to think about little Pentecost. And I remember the scores of people who were there in Louisiana when Katrina hit, or the folks that helped with the tsunamis, or those unnamed people who went to Dafar in Guatemala and were there in 9/11 in New York City and still there every year. She says, I remember the little Pentecost of people who prayed for minors who were trapped and turned out for vigils for children they did not know but a community grieves for. Little Pentecost, when people give their money to help make sure guns do not get over in anyone's hands or that people are fed. Or little Pentecost, when people vote like their faith and life depend on it. What would be the result of our sons and daughters who prophesy, young men and young women who see visions, old ones whose dreams come true, of God's Spirit pouring out? Why wait for another Pentecost? Maybe we have to recognize Pentecost when it's in our midst. To recognize Pentecost, God's Spirit, in our midst. Sometimes it reminds us that we need to know our history to know where we have come. Jack Rogers was the moderator of the Presbyterian Church in 2001. Lord have mercy. That was like 11 years ago. And to me, it feels like last year, but it was 11 years ago. And as moderator, he got to preach a sermon on Pentecost as his dream for the church. This is what he said in 2001. I dream of a day when old people will tell their stories of who they fully are. I imagine a Pentecost where every gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered Presbyterian church will come out in freedom, praising God and giving thanks for Christ as their sovereign, their Savior, and the Bible as their trusted friend. I imagine the Pentecost as a miracle of hearing, where the straight, uptight, worried Presbyterians will hear from their gay brothers and sisters that they are devoted Christian believers. Can you imagine that dream? He said he wanted to wait for a new Pentecost in the Presbyterian Church, where we would once again have basic values in common, where we share and receive the sustaining, surprising gifts of the Holy Spirit that before we thought was only for one people. Praise God that it will happen. I don't think he ever expected that we would see in our front page of the date book in the San Francisco Chronicle, church opens its arms and hear about a preacher named Paul Mallory in Sausalito that was called to a church. That's kind of ordinary in itself, but he's married. He's been married to the same man and partnered with him now for 25 years, and they have a child, and he's the pastor of Sausalito Presbyterian Church. He doesn't think it's so exciting. He's from the fourth generation of Presbyterians. He's just trying to serve his first church, but they called him. And that is a stunning thing. Who would have guessed that the Spirit still works with us? When we read those words in Joel, in the later days, I will pour out my Spirit on all humanity, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will speak a word that is stronger than death, a hope that is deeper than despair, that every tear will be dried, and the power of Christ's resurrection, and death and pain will be no more. That's the word that we are gifted to speak. And it still happens in ways that are unseen but change lives. Tom Long reminded me of a story of Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Okay, I'm aging myself again. She wrote a lot about death and dying. She was a doctor. And she would interview dying patients in hospitals. And she noticed that after one attendant would go to the rooms, the people would seem calm and be ready to die. Well, she went and she saw that orderly and said, "Can I talk to you?" And the orderly said, "I'm not doing anything. Everything's okay." And she said, "No, no, no, you're not in trouble. I want to find out that when after you go to the room, my patients seem calm." She said, "What are you doing to my patients?" The orderly said, "Well, I just talked to them. You know, I've had two babies of mine own die on my lap. And God has never abandoned me. I tell them that. I tell them that they aren't alone, that God is with them, and they don't have to be afraid." See, that's the gift of Pentecost, to speak a word to the broken and to the tragedy of the world, a word of good news and a hope that is unlike any other. The Spirit is still moving in us. I think of what a gift it is for your pastor to have a sabbatical. Huh. I would have been the pastor of this church without it, but I really like being the pastor of the church with it. And the hope would be in that sabbatical that I get a time to learn to breathe again, to be reminded that I'm not in control, though God frequently does remind me of that. I try to ignore it. The hope would be that I will renew and refresh myself. And I've done that. I've planned a fair amount on my sabbatical. I'm going to go camping on St. John's in the Virgin Islands. I'm taking a two-week class on preaching. I'm volunteering with 2,000 young people in Montreat, North Carolina. I'm going on a cruise where I'm going to do spiritual wellness. And I'm going to enjoy San Francisco. But it's not all planned. I've got lots of open spaces because I'm hoping that God will teach me to slow down and that I can breathe again. I can pray more than I do. So I'm waiting to see where God will break through for me in this time. You also have a sabbatical in this. The gift of the Spirit will be in this place in new and different ways. The committee has picked some of the very best preachers to preach here, people they want to hear. I challenge you to see where the Spirit might be leading you. You get to be reminded again that the church is not the pastor, even though she has this beautiful stole and she thinks she's all that. Do you know there's no pastors mentioned in that Pentecost passage? Oh, no. It's about the people who get the Spirit. So I invite you to see where the Spirit may be nudging and shaping and inviting you during our time apart. Because the promise is, and I believe this, that God is still in our midst, that we can be broadened and expanded and go where we didn't expect to go and be loved and have a good news word for many people. For the Spirit was there over 2,000 years ago, and the Spirit is still within us now. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we recall that your Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, sending them out to tell the good news to all nations, whereupon they preached to diverse people from various nations, each in his or her language. Dear God, in our age, people are just as divided by language, geography, religion, and politics, and it seems that we are less and less able to communicate with each other, and many people seem to be unable to know you and recognize you. We pray that the Holy Spirit may give us the gift to be able to proclaim your good news to all, to each in his or her language, culture, and social and political context, in the knowledge that Jesus Christ recognizes none of these artificial distinctions among us. We pray for healing within our denomination, in which too many of our churches and church leaders pursue diverse agendas instead of unity, resulting in the fragmentation of the body of Christ. In our nation's politics, we pray that instead of polarization and extremism, our political representatives strive to see the face of God even in their adversaries. We pray that your Holy Spirit descend upon the nations of Europe in the midst of economic upheaval, upon Syria, Afghanistan, and other places where there is strife, and lead them in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, who seeks peace and reconciliation. We pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of our prayer partners, Kim Williams, Mary Lou Wilson, Josephine and Herbert Yee, George and Priscilla Yu, James Ziegler and Janet DeLong, Pastor Henderson as she begins her sabbatical, Old First Church's neighbors and visitors, the Doris Krause Senior Center, the Welcome Center, and all those who give to all the young people who benefit from the Presbyterian Church USA Pentecost offering. We pray that the Holy Spirit may be with them and bring them closer to you. In the words of the poet Christina Rossetti, O God, the Holy Ghost, who art light unto thine elect, evermore enlighten us. Thou who art fire of love, evermore enkindle us. Thou who art Lord and giver of life, evermore live in us. Thou who bestowest sevenfold graces, evermore replenish us. As the wind is thy symbol, so forward our goings. As the dove, so launch us heavenwards. As water, so purify our spirits. As a cloud, so abate our temptations. As dew, so revive our languor. As fire, so purge our dross. And now we pray that prayer you taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.